Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now they're crying out to me, just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ. Today I'll be sharing a message called Stand. This message is for those who have a heart after God and want to be ready for His appearing. I want to dedicate this message to those who want to fulfill God's plan in their lives in the last days. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm reading verses 13 to 15. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 13. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Verse 14. "Whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 15. "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle." Jesus is coming back, and we have to be ready for his appearing. God loves you, and you should be making yourself ready with his help. He can speak directly through conviction, as well as through reading the Bible, and through those who are anointed to bring messages of conviction. You should not be making any compromises for sin, and stand when temptation comes. The word "stand fast" here is number 4739 from the perfect tense. It means to be stationary, that is, to persevere or stand fast. Standing fast is also being still. We read in Psalms 46 and verse 10. This is Psalms 46 and verse 10. "Be still and know that I'm God, and I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Noah Webster in 1828 defined perseverance in theology as continuance in a state of grace to a state of glory, sometimes called final perseverance. In the book Gilded Prison, Revised Edition, in chapter 4 on page 40, Joseph Hedgecock writes, "The root of all sin is your lordship, along with its natural understanding, desires, and agendas. Your sins can be blatant or subtle. You might be tempted by obvious lusts of the flesh, or do good works to be righteous in yourself. You may also have personal desires that are legitimate requests. But instead of asking God to meet your needs, you pursue those desires from your carnal nature. By doing things you want or desire, you separate yourself from God and become a slave of sin." We read in John chapter 8 and verse 34. This is John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 34. Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin." It is possible to abide and not compromise and be in right standing with the Lord. John said it in 1 John chapter 3. I'm reading verses 6 to 8. This is 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sins not, and whoever sins hath not seen him, neither know him. Verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous. Verse 8. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Sin is what puts you out of his presence. So you cannot get to know God unless you abide in him. You abide by making Jesus Lord. James says in James chapter 1 and verse 12, blessed is the man that endures temptation. But when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. You can live in victory over sin by making Jesus your first love and receive the crown of life. You are to persevere by grace in the teachings you've received from those following Christ, like Paul. Someone following Christ is denying his or herself daily. Not everyone is on the narrow way. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 15, I'm reading. This is Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Those who walk with the Lord will share things that bring about conviction. This is how you know they are sent from God. They have experienced the same chastening themselves since they were converted. They love repentance and being in his presence. David said in Psalm 51, verses 12 and 13. This is Psalms 51, verses 12 and 13. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Verse 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. The evangelist Charles Grandison Finney, who lived in 1792 to 1875, was an American Presbyterian minister and a leader in the Second Great Awakening in the United States. Charles had a solid conversion experience and led many to Christ. He confronted people with the lordship of Jesus Christ in his revivals. He did not allow anyone to just raise his hand or her hand, pray a few words, or make any emotional response for salvation. When sinners were confronted with the word of grace, they were given the option to seek God at an after-inquiry meeting until they made him Lord. Those at the meetings had to endure 5 days of conviction as the Lord used Charles Finney. People wanted to respond and get saved at each meeting. But then he would say to them, come back tomorrow and we will inquire further into the condition of your soul. Charles Finney was able to dismiss the crowd. Many evangelists are deceived or ravening wolves as they are not able to dismiss the crowds and offer a quick altar call instead. For those ravening wolves in sheep's clothing, ministry to statistics and raising money is more important than getting someone on the narrow way. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, I'm reading verses 17 to 19. This is Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us For an example, verse 18, "For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Verse 19, "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things." Charles Finney told sinners under conviction and seeking to come back the next day. The truths that Charles was sharing were causing reactions that needed repentance. Reactions to conviction are evidence of Satan's kingdom coming to the surface. Those just seeking salvation need to go through godly sorrow and accept the lordship of Jesus Christ. By God's grace, we can experience the presence of God and be hot for a short time, but then backslide and be cold. This is what makes someone lukewarm. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. This is Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 15. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou would be cold or hot." Verse 16. "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." One young evangelist told Charles Finney that he did not like the way he was doing his after-inquiry meetings, and Finney said he did not think they were perfect either. So he asked this young evangelist, "How do you do them?" The young man answered, saying, "I don't do them." So Charles Finney said, "Then I like the way I do them rather than the way you don't do them." Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, I'm reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Verse 2, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." The church in Corinth was carnal and still using their mind, so Paul had to send Timothy to help them out. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading verses 15 to 17. This is 1 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 15. "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." Verse 16. "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Verse 17. "For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who will bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Paul was not planning an entertaining seminar for those 10,000 instructors. He wanted them to repent. He urgently sent Timothy to explain exactly what to do in the face of trials that he had already faced and overcome by denying himself and taking up his cross. Paul told Timothy to evangelize the church. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm reading verses 2 to 5. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 2. "Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Verse 3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Verse 4. "And they shall turn away from their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." Verse 5. "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry." The word fable in Strong's is number 3454. Perhaps from another word it means the idea of tuition, a tale, or a fictitious story or myth. By teaching sound doctrine, the church can become holy. through repentance, and then reach the world. But if the church is sleeping, then they cannot help anyone because they have the love of the world instead. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, I'm reading verses 13 to 15. This is Philippians chapter 2. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. To do the will of God, you must endure some afflictions from those in the flesh that have carnal agendas. Let the Lord use whatever gifts are needed. In the Amplified Bible, in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5, it says this, as for you, be calm and cool and steady, accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fully perform all the duties of your ministry. Those who have denied themselves and take up their cross daily are calm and cool. They will not compromise on truth and resist vain talk. Those on the narrow way can effectively evangelize the church without being tempted or compromise themselves. James says in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, I'm reading. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The word patience in verse 3 in Strong's is number 5281. It's from another word which means cheerful or hopeful. It means endurance or constancy, enduring patience or patiently waiting. The word perfect in James 1 and verse 4 in Strong's is number 5046. It's from another word which means complete. In various applications, it means completeness or full age or perfect. Through patience, it's possible to overcome the greatest temptation by faith. Is your faith working properly? If it is, you'll overcome. Unbelief will hinder your faith. Unbelief is based on lies that you accepted because you wanted something for yourself. Are you willing to be corrected and have your unbelief exposed so that your faith is pure? James said in James chapter 4, verses 2 to 4. This is James chapter 4, and starting in verse 2. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. Verse 3. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The prosperity gospel has become popular, and people even now try to serve God and money, doing things in spiritualized flesh. They are causing many others to stumble. For a period of time in these last days, these larger gatherings promoting such messages have been stopped. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. No one should be able to find anything in your house where you went and bought it because you liked it or desired it. This is evidence of friendship with the world. Everything that is in your home should be there because God told you to buy it, not just because you liked it. John said in 1 John 2, verses 15 and 16. This is First Epistle of John, chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Do not be tempted to save your own life. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17. I'm reading verses 32 to 37. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, starting in verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Verse 33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Verse 34. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Verse 35. Two men shall be grinding together, and the one shall be taken and the other left. Verse 36. Two men shall be in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. Verse 37. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Jesus said, Eagles gathered above a dead body. In the same way, a dead soul is identified by the fact that people are always thinking and talking about the things of the world. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. This is Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you are holding on to the things of this world, your soul will be destroyed. But if you stand fast and seek God for commandments instead, this will build character. Jesus told us to remember what happened to Lot's wife. We read the story in Genesis chapter 19. I'm reading verses 24 to 28. This is Genesis chapter 19, starting in verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Verse 25. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. Verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Verse 27. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Verse 28. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and towards all the land of the plain, and behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as smoke of a furnace. We cannot keep anything in this world by holding on to it. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. I'm reading 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold on to sound teaching instead and be doers of the word. You can lose your soul or you can save it. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm reading verses 6 to 9. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, that though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love, and in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You have to learn to love your enemies, for example. And in my life, God used somebody who was close to me. I had to open my heart and love my enemy. I reached a certain level after 2 attempts, and it certainly wasn't perfect. But God used this situation. The rest I learned just from opening my heart, where I had to speak the truth in love. This all happened to me in a short time, but I had to first develop my love relationship with God. For more information on how to develop your love relationship with God, please read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. In the Amplified Bible, verse 6 and part of verse 7 says this: you should be exceedingly glad on the account that though now, for a little while, you may be distressed by trials and suffer temptations, so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested, your faith, which is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire. Gold is purified in the fire, but it's not left in the fire. You should experience a test of your faith in God from time to time until you pass your test. When you pass your test, the trial will go away. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm reading verses 8 to 10. This is 2 Peter chapter 3 and starting in verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. God is in control. He's trying to get us ready for his coming and not end up in that final judgment that will come as a thief in the night. What we are going through now are small amounts of pressure to bring to the surface things that need repentance. If you understand this process properly, you will rejoice. When he comes back, only those who've been repenting will be ready. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, I'm reading verses 4 to 9. This is Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Do everything in moderation. Paul shares some experience how to maintain that peace by keeping your mind fixed on things above. In the Amplified Bible, in verse 6, it says, let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. The Lord is near. He is coming soon. You cannot have peace and joy without being in his kingdom. Paul said it in Romans 14 and 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Standing fast has to be done in the spirit, not in the flesh. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 8, "For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord." Only by maintaining his lordship are we alive spiritually. We read in Isaiah 26 and verse 3. This is Isaiah 26 and verse 3. "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." The word "stayed" in Strong's is number 5564. It's a primitive root to prop, literally or figuratively, to lean upon or take hold of. It means in a favorable or unfavorable sense. It means to bear up, to establish, lay hold, lean, lie hard, put rest. Rest oneself and set oneself, or stand fast. If you don't have your mind stayed on him, it's on something else. Your mind is thinking too much because you do not trust him with your situation. Do not seek him for blessings or come with a long shopping list in prayer. Start with repentance. God sees your heart. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 3, on page 39, Joseph asks the question, "Do you act or react?" He says here, "One indication of maturity is whether you act at the Spirit's direction or react from the flesh. When a problem suddenly arises, what do you do in the first moment determines whether you overcome or get overcome. Do you act properly by responding in the way God says, or do you react in the flesh? If you are in the flesh, you will move into fight or flight behavior. You will either fight against the problem or run away from it. Both of these reactions are carnal. Instead of reacting immediately, a mature child of God brings every thought under control to the obedience of Christ. Any situation that produces a strong emotional response needs to be addressed immediately and taken to the Lord. A stressful circumstance can produce negative consequences if you do not process it quickly and correctly. When you are startled by an unexpected event, it is essential to bring your thoughts under control rapidly. This is another reason to develop the habit of obeying what God says instantly and without question. Do not let any situation or thought tempt you to use your reasoning and understanding. The devil may flood your mind with every negative scenario imaginable. However, when you immediately bring your thoughts under control in obedience to Christ and yield to him with complete trust, you can be at peace regardless of the situation. He knows exactly what to do. Even if you get in the flesh, immediate repentance moves you back into the Spirit. The devil uses the fear of suffering and doubts to get you to fight and wrestle in the flesh instead of abiding and standing. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." A corrupted mind is a mind thinking too much, trying to work everything out. Your mind should be at rest. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 1. "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, and any of you should seem to come short of it." Verse 2. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Verse 3. "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Verse 4. "For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this way, And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Verse 5. And in this place again, if thou shalt enter into my rest. Verse 6. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Verse 7. Again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Verse 8. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? Verse 9. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. The word to come short in Hebrews chapter 4 in Strong's is number 5302. It comes from another word which means to be later, by implication, to be inferior, or to fall short, to be deficient. It means to come behind, to be destitute, fall, lack, or suffer need, be in want, or be the worst. To come short means to be late for a meeting. Coming late to meetings is a common problem with anyone trying to serve two different agendas. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We are going to be married soon, and we don't want to be late, as the door will be closed afterwards. Jesus said in Luke 13 and verse 24, this is Luke's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now is the time to enter the rest that is available in the kingdom before it's too late, as the kingdom is here now. The trials that come your way prove and stretch your faith to get you ready. This is the striving talked about here. If a trial comes and you no longer react to it, then you have passed that test. The word come short means to be in want or lacking. The tests will continue until you are not lacking. And you can have more fun when everything is going wrong than most people can when it's going right. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. The children of Israel grumbled and complained in the wilderness. In the last days, you need to stand when things are getting uncomfortable and evil is increasing. This is a vital message, and it's everyone's responsibility to stand. Jesus said in Luke 21 and verse 28, I'm reading. This is Luke 21 and verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. The word look up in Strong's is number 352. Means, from another word, in the sense of reversal, to unbend. That is to rise figuratively, to be elated, lift up or look up. Jesus said when these things begin to happen on the earth and fear is increasing, you should unbend, look up and rise up. The word look up does not mean it's time to attack immoral governments. Also, it's not a time to submit to the spirit of this world and get ready. If you are living in the kingdom of God and doing the will of God, you are complete, and God supplies all your needs. This is the true Sabbath rest. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. This is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be glory and forever and ever. Amen. Only the cares of this world and the lusts of the flesh will stop you from entering the rest God promised. God promised the children of Israel a land flowing with milk and honey. You are supposed to seek God's kingdom first and not what he provides. He is your heavenly Father. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 9 and reading to verse 11. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. There remains therefore a rest of the people of God. Verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. God has provided a rest from doing your own works, but not from preordained works that he has planned for you. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Verse 9, Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You have to strive diligently to enter into Christ. And do not give up when you come out of his presence. Get back in immediately by grace through faith and try to stay a bit longer each time until you abide. If you learn from your mistakes, you can abide longer. In the book Light, in chapter 23 on how to develop your agape love in abundance, on page 163, Joseph Hedgecott writes, If you have a barrel full of dirt, it can't be filled with anything else. If you only use a spoon, you can still empty that barrel if you continue to remove the dirt one spoonful at a time. Even if you remove one spoonful each day, you will eventually empty the whole barrel. That's what I decided to do with the sins and weights in my life. I knew that if I would deal with at least one hindrance of sin each day, I would eventually get the dirt out of my life. It worked. I'm not perfect, but God has removed the hindrances in my life to the point that I'm able to enjoy a steady flow of abundant love and consistent fellowship with my Father. Doing the will of God is what keeps you in the presence of God. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life, personally, in thought, purpose, or action. Conviction identifies those sins that need to be dealt with immediately. Do not compare your list of sins with anyone else. God's commands are now written on our hearts. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. The new covenant is the new wine in new wineskins. Jesus said in Luke 5, verse 37 and 38. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, starting in verse 37. And no man puts new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled out, and bottles shall perish. Verse 38. New wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. True followers of Jesus are not interested in keeping the law or the Hebrew traditions. Those following Christ have a relationship by faith, like Abraham, who was declared righteous before the law. We have direct access to God by the Spirit through Jesus Christ. There is now no excuse to have a false righteousness that does not come from repentance and conviction through the Spirit of truth. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. If you love the truth and conviction, then you love Jesus because he is the truth. When he comes back for his bride, you will find out who is your first love, but there will be no time to repent. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 36 to 39. This is Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 36. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and then he shall will come and will not tarry. Verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. In the Amplified Bible, in verse 36, it says, For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. If you are not seeking God's perfect will with all your heart, then you have a hidden agenda instead. You still do not believe God is love and will go after the lust of the flesh eventually. Your faith in God has to be purified. The time and what methods are used depend on you. The longer you leave it, the more extreme the methods are necessary if you want to finish your race. There is a process, and that has to go on in your life where you no longer are holding on to anything in this world or seeking anything in this world. John said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. In the book Sound Doctrine, in chapter 18, on the fruits of loving God, on page 259, Joseph Hedgecott writes, We hear a lot of preaching today about blessings and prosperity. Entire ministries are based upon doctrines of how to get those blessings. Many people are enticed to come to the Lord for the blessings. This creates a problem because their motivations are wrong. Many people are seeking the blessings to satisfy the desires of their flesh. They want to use God. They didn't repent because they saw clearly how much they had sinned and come short of the glory of God. They didn't come with remorse for their sinful state. They didn't even come with thanksgiving for how much God loved them. They came for selfish reasons. Many times people preach the blessings in order to motivate people to repent. That perverts the scriptures. Other people see that perversion, and they know it isn't right. They become very offended. They start resisting anything that has to do with the blessings of God. They take it to the extreme the other way and think being poor is holy, or that being blessed means you must be doing something wrong. They get a poverty spirit, and the devil is stealing from that day and night. They should have received their inheritance, but they have an impoverished spiritual life. People ask me if I preach prosperity. I certainly do, but I preach the Deuteronomy 28 type of prosperity. That puts prosperity in the right order. We read in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. This is Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all the nations of the earth. Verse 2, And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Through the Jews keeping God's commands, he was planning to set the nation of Israel on high. This was not to be a legalistic keeping of commands. It was not doing the minimum necessary either. The hearts of the Jews were not soft. The psalmist starts off with praise and then says this, in Psalm 95, verses 7 to 11. This is Psalms 95, starting in verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. Verse 8. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. Verse 9. When your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my work. Verse 10, 40 years long I was grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Verse 11, unto whom I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Keeping his command should be a joy and a privilege. You will be seeking God on everything if you really know him and trust him. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. People sometimes ask me the question, do we have to ask God every little thing? They see verse 6 as restrictive or cumbersome. They do not see the blessing of asking God and letting him direct everything. We are allowed to ask God, hallelujah. However, carnal believers want to do the minimum so that they can do what they want instead. They do not see the benefit of asking God and learning to be faithful in the small things. Instead, they have a confidence in their own works. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 22. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Comfortable Christians just want to do their own will and get God to bless their plans instead. You're supposed to let God put his thoughts in your mind instead. We read in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. This is Jeremiah 29. And verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, and to give you an expected end. Never seek God with your mind, as you'll not find him. If you forsake your own way first and repent, then you can find God's way by relying on his grace and mercy. We read in Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. This is Isaiah 55, I'm starting in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God is not hiding from you. You are hiding from him. You're either following the Lord or you're going away from him, seeking something else in this world because of your own unbelief. The most wicked thing you can do in the Bible is being Lord of your own life, using the mind to make decisions based on things you see and want now. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God designed mankind to hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord. He gives us all the best technology that is a human spirit designed in the likeness of God. Hallelujah. It was only because of sin that this connection was lost. Jesus paid the price so that we could get in the presence of God by grace through faith and get access to the Holy Spirit, who knows the things of God. Now there's no excuse. It cannot get any easier. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 14, I'm reading. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 11. For what man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. God's ways make no sense to the mind. But God is speaking all the time, through the Holy Spirit, to his people, who have decided to follow him. This promise is for those who have a heart after him. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10, starting in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If you don't want to perish, it's not enough to be born again. You have to become like a little child if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven and be ready for his appearing. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4, I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, starting in verse 3, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble themselves as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Your position in eternity depends on you becoming like a little child. After the resurrection, Jesus called his disciples little children. We read in John chapter 21, I'm reading verses 4 to 7. This is John's Gospel, chapter 21, starting in verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 5. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. Verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Verse 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat with unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. The disciples did not know it was Jesus when he called them little children, but they responded and did what was asked. This is the condition your heart has to be like with God, not questioning him. In the book Sound Doctrine, in chapter 14 on page 168, Joseph Hedgecock writes, Adam and Eve listened to Satan questioning God's command rather than obeying what God had said. If God had commanded the angels to do something, they needed more information. They could have asked a question. But Lucifer tried to usurp authority over God. Because of that, he was thrown out of heaven, and he came down to the earth full of wrath because he lost his high position. You will not be able to follow Jesus if you keep questioning his decisions. Make sure you've denied yourself and taken up your cross. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, and this is verses 1 to 4 I'm reading. This is Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Be ye followers of God as dear children. Verse 2. Walk in love, as Christ also have loved us and gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. Verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becomes the saints. Verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Paul told the church to be followers as dear children. Any foolish, silly talking, not based on sound teaching, or jesting should be replaced with thanksgiving and love. Through the flesh, you will destroy rather than edify those in the body of Christ that are trying to be fitly joined together, coming from all different backgrounds. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 13 to 15. This is Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 13. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. Verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. Once you've accepted Christ as your Lord personally, you can connect to those in the body of Christ who are also paying a price for following Christ. Jesus became like a lamb led to the slaughter as an example for our lives. He is our example of trusting God who raised him from the dead, so we could also overcome the fear of death by having a righteousness by faith. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16, this is Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God decides who is in a position of any kind based on weaknesses, not strengths. You must be faithful in the body and in the place where God has called you to be. This is the story of what happened to the lazy servant who just had one talent. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verses 28 to 30. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, starting in verse 28. Take therefore the one talent from him and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. Verse 29. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. Verse 30. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In the flesh you can develop the few talents you have using your own mind. Many have done this in the music industry and in many challenging sports, but they have not even been born again. Paul said, in 2 Corinthians 12, and verses 9 and 10, I'm reading. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. At the end, you will see that Jesus made the right choice about the strengths and weaknesses he gave you. Being faithful does not mean just using the talents you have. To be faithful, you have to create new talents from your weaknesses by trusting God and be little children willing to make a few mistakes like everyone else. James says in James chapter 5 and verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We can identify with each other through our weaknesses, not our strengths. Use your talents to help others, but also learn new talents by serving. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. This is Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only don't use your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We have a freedom in Christ. But that is not a worldly freedom to do anything that would fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You cannot have freedom without walking in the Spirit. The only love that is pure is God's love. So I have to be connected to the source to fulfill the scripture that says, love your neighbor as your own self, as Jesus taught. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3 and 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Your liberty is in Christ alone. If you're living in the flesh, then you're already a prisoner. For more information on how to be set free, please read the book, The Guilted Prison, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Man cannot even have natural liberty without the functional lordship of Jesus. Only with God's direction and control can we enjoy all things as we put God's plan first. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 28, this is Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. Noah Webster in 1828 defined civil liberty. Civil liberty is the liberty of men in a state of society, or natural liberty, so far only abridged and restrained as is necessary and expedient for the safety and interests of the society, state, or nation. A restraint of natural liberty, not necessarily or expedient for the public, is tyranny or oppression. Civil liberty is an exemption from the arbitrary will of others, with which exemption is secured by established laws which restrain every man from injuring or controlling another. Hence, the restraints of law are essential to civil liberty. In the last days, more and more are not willing to submit to God's laws, and because of this, promote evil instead. Strive together for the gospel, because otherwise you will lose your freedom as more and more refuse to obey God's law if they do not come to repentance themselves. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, only let your conversation be as becoming to the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Christ paid the price for us all to be free by obeying the Spirit. This can even be replaced by a series of do's and don'ts, but it just proves you're not trusting God and being led by the Spirit. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4, this is Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4. and that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us unto bondage. God's plan was to fulfill the righteous requirements through the Holy Spirit taking control. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Jesus is the head of the church. You should be zealous for good works that are directed by the Spirit. When you are doing His perfect will by faith, you are pleasing Almighty God. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, I'm reading. This is Paul again in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Verse 8. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The true church operates in the light in such a way that everyone is hearing God. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thinking is dangerous. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 12 and 13. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinks he is standing take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Every generation has experienced increasing darkness. Just as it gets darker, we get a reformer preaching repentance, and this brings a refreshing. Peter says in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Verse 20, And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. After there is a refreshing, it seems like the next generation, or the one after, does not want to continue in the word of truth because they did not stand fast. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 1, this is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1, Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Those who were standing fast were a testimony to Paul's life and his teachings. They had become part of his crown too. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, this is 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. In the Amplified we read, Be alert, be on your guard, stand firm in your faith, your conviction respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, keeping the trust and holy fervor born of faith and a part of it. Act like men and be courageous, grow in strength. You should be on your guard in this world, using the gift of eternal life so that you are progressively getting to know God. It does not matter what the devil does. God provides answers for what you face every day. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verses 12 to 15. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You need to be ready to give an account for making a stand as things get darker in these last days. Jesus said in John 3 and verse 19, and this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The world tries to justify evil and will not submit to Jesus' teachings. They are deceived, seeking a false freedom instead. But the good news is clear. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. This is Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no judgment for those who abide in Christ and are led by the Spirit. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, I'm reading verses 10 to 18. This is Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Paul experienced that his opponents were people controlled by dark forces in the supernatural unseen realm. They were only puppets serving the devil through the lust of the flesh. He told us to abide in him and get the strength we need. Only when we're weak, he is strong. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 to 4, I'm reading. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4. No man worth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You become a pleasing soldier of Jesus Christ by doing whatever he is telling you to do when he tells you. There is time and a place for everything. We read in Isaiah 59 and verses 17 to 19. This is Isaiah 59, starting in verse 17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Verse 18. According to thy deeds, according he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. Verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The battle against evil in these last days is not ours. We may have to endure some trials for the sake of those that will be saved. God is in control. We make a stand against sin and iniquity and do not compromise by using our minds. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat and what you shall drink, or yet for the body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? The life of standing fast involves putting God first. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33 and 34. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You will not overcome evil by using your mind. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, I'm reading. This is Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. With grace and the fear of the Lord, you can do anything. Before putting your armor on, you need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 13, verses 12 to 14, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 12. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Verse 13. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. The armor of light is the ability to see clearly by following him. If you are not walking in the light, you have, and responding to conviction, grace will run out. John says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, this is 1 John chapter 1, and starting in verse 7, but if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. If we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Be disciplined and diligent like soldiers, and be prepared to keep your equipment clean and in good working order. If you become contaminated with sin, this will be an access for the devil, and it will separate you from the rest of the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul said to put on the whole armor to stand against the strategies and deception coming from the evil one. This includes, number one, truth. You should be wearing the belt of truth all the time and tighten it, testing everything you hear with the Spirit of truth. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. You should wear humility like a garment of a servant, wrapping it tightly around you, held in place with the belt of truth. Jesus will be wearing a belt when he reigns on this earth. We read in Isaiah 11 in verse 5, also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and the faithfulness the belt about his waist. Jesus is Lord now, and your faithfulness is based on obeying the truth now that is revealed by the Spirit. Number 2, the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is to prevent iniquity creeping into your heart. We get our righteousness by abiding in Christ. The devil cannot win in an open fight when you are hidden in Christ. We abide by obeying the Spirit and not listening to our own feelings and emotions of the heart. People use the phrase to be honest with you. However, we know that the heart is thoroughly wicked. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Make no excuses for sin. If you're going to stand against evil, then use the blood of Jesus to confess your sin. You can then learn from your mistake and overcome. We read in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Number 3, a firm stand. It should be bold like those early apostles. Your focus is on delivering the message that is needed and maintain the peace of God at all times. We read in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. This is Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You should be ready to give the good confession before your Pontius Pilate if necessary, and not be anxious. Number 4, the shield of faith. It is easier using a shield when you are standing. Hence, you need to stand against evil as the devil is the accuser of the brethren. We read in Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. I'm reading. This is Revelation chapter 12. And reading verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. The fact that the devil is attacking your position is just a confirmation you are doing the will of God. We read in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5, every word of God is tested, and he is a shield to those who take refuge in him. The fiery darts of the evil one will attempt to unsettle you, because you're making a stand and causing you to doubt and sin against God. Our shield is trusting God that we are doing what he has told us to do by faith. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, and he found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteous, which is of God by faith. Number 5, helmet of salvation. The helmet is guarding the fact that Jesus is your Lord, not just your Savior. Jesus should be your boss. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Your hope of salvation is based on the sanctification process. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 6 to 9. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, But let us watch and be sober. Verse 7. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Number 6. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the living word. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is not the word that is directed by man's wisdom or skill. This word that brings conviction comes from the Holy Spirit of truth. Paul also said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 7, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. World governments are not embarrassed to express laws that are evil and contrary to clear scripture. Those who enforce evil on other nations have declared war on the kingdom of God, and God has something to say about this. We read in Psalm 72, verses 3 and 4. In Psalm 72, starting in verse 3, the mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. Verse 4, and he shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. In the last days, we have to make a stand. This is not a physical fight. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 35 and 36. This is John's Gospel, chapter 18, and verse 35. And Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Verse 36. And Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here. Jesus had to go through what he went through to save us. We are called to be soldiers of Jesus Christ and stand too. We also have to present the gospel in our situation for the sake of the last few that want to be saved. Jesus is the commander-in-chief and we get his instructions. There are no special clothes to wear. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Verse 5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The church is in a critical stage. Those awake now who use their minds will either be left behind or perish. Doing good things cannot replace the need to hear God personally. Even some leaders who hear God in ministry did not ask God the small things of life, and therefore did not learn faithfulness. When Jesus comes back, those who are with him, called, chosen, and faithful, will rule and reign. We read in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. This is Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make the decision to start on the narrow path, Sow in the Spirit daily. Experience your salvation and freedom through regular repentance. Then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hitchcock. Do not let the devil turn you away from trusting God fully. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilt of Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hitchcock. Today you've heard a message about standing for Jesus. This is something that he will do through you. His ways are easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Just concentrate on getting to know him. Listen to his voice in the small things. And as you do that, you won't even have time for this world. Don't struggle and strive. Instead, just listen to him. Get to know him. Obey him instantly. These are the things you have to deal with if you want to stand. Many don't know how to stand because they don't know how to simply obey him and cling to him. But Christianity is not just another religion. It is a relationship with the living God. I believe this message today has spoken to you. And if you want to make this stand, then my prayer is for you that you will learn to hear his voice, that you will make no excuses, that from now on, whenever he speaks, you will decide you're going to obey him and start a new way of living. And by that, you will depart from sin. Let's pray. Father in heaven, your people need to stand as one, in one spirit, one mind. The same mind that was in Christ Jesus, who suffered and died, and for the joy set before him, endured the cross. And my prayer is for everyone who listens to this message, that they will truly decide to follow you and make a stand daily and learn to be faithful in the small things. And as they hear and obey, Father, you will come close to them and they will enjoy that wonderful fellowship with you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening. As you've enjoyed this message, below will be some more information on the scriptures I've used and also some contact information. God bless you.